We're talking about being a genuine disciple, an authentic Christian, a real Christian. And so this is our theme for the Wednesdays for this year, genuine, because it's the genuine Christians. I've met a lot of ungenuine people that say they love Christ. But I want to say to you today that being a genuine disciple of Jesus is the blessed life. It really is the blessed life. Being a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ, it is the blessed life. And I was just thinking about this year already. You know, we've had 3 weddings already this year. And you know, I think we had 3 last year, 2 the year before, and that was our first weddings. And you know, so, and each time coming to these weddings, seeing couples getting married and God using their lives and blessing. And so, you know, seeing some of the early guys getting married this year, they've been in church a while, and just seeing how God has changed their lives, how God is really changing these young people that come into the church. And I was thinking, it really is a blessing for me to see it. I can't even describe it in words. It is such a blessing to see people's lives. They're entering into destiny. And just, you know, there's just a great anticipation on my behalf of what these couples are going to do for Jesus. And for me and my wife to come here, a few people, and then to see what God is doing, I'm overwhelmed. I was thinking about it, like, there isn't any amount of money you can give somebody. There isn't a car, there isn't a promotion that you could give someone that is worth more than that. Your life is making a difference in other people's lives. That is the blessed life. But I was also thinking, just personally in my own life, being a Christian 18 years, getting saved 22, my life has really been blessed since I've been a Christian. God has severely blessed me. Ministry, blessed me with good friends, blessed me with health, blessed me in so many ways. And being a genuine disciple, a genuine follower of Christ, it is the blessed life. How many can testify to that? How many feel blessed that they're saved? I'm blessed. And this is, you know, the wonderful thing that we can testify to people that we know, and it becomes an incentive to tell people, look, you need to give your life to Jesus, man. You need to really, not talking about just coming to church or just being religious, you need to give your life to Jesus so that your life can be blessed. But I want to say to you today, I want to change direction a little bit from that statement and say, a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ has anchored their life into something which is far more prestigious and far more deeper than just the temporal blessings of this world. A genuine disciple of Jesus Christ, someone who is a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, has locked into something and says, yes, there are blessings, but there is something far more higher, far more serious than just the blessings of this world. The temporal things that I can get, you know, a nice house, a nice car, a nice job, and I thank God for any blessings that I get, that you get. I thank God for all the weddings and families and all of these things. I thank God for that. But let me say this now. A genuine follower of Jesus Christ has locked into something higher than those things. Has locked into something far more deeper. And they are driven. The word I would like to say, they are driven by a passion for something which is way more than just temporal blessings. We're going to see that in the text. Follow along with me. James 1, verse 12, we got it up there. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. We pray, Father, you would speak to us a clear message. I pray, Father, that you would help me to articulate what your Spirit would like to communicate to your church, to your people. Let your love, Father, be revealed in this message, your grace, your mercy. I pray most of all, Father, that you would strengthen us and that your Son, Jesus Christ, would be magnified in this place today. And all God's people said, amen. I want to preach about the crown of life, because this is that deeper, more prestigious driving force of a genuine disciple, is the crown of life. This is the driving force which is gives the true disciple joy when they think about the crown of life. That a genuine disciple, a true follower of God, because you're going to get people that come to church and they come to church just for things. They're going to come to church just for a man or a woman, or they come to church just for material blessing, or they're going through a court case. And so they'll come to church. Pastor, will you pray for me? I need to get off this bail at this court case. Pastor Jay was telling me when I was in Mandeville a month or so ago, whenever it was, that, you know, he was getting these calls from people. And while we was going around the supermarket in Jamaica, he got a call from a woman who's never been to the church. And somehow she got a leaflet. And someone that Pastor Jay never knew, he's never met the guy. And she said, could you go down to the police station and testify on his behalf that he's innocent? Think about what I've just said. You've never met the guy. You do not know the guy. And you don't even know what he did. Pastor Jay tactfully said, that's going to be a bit of a struggle for me. Amen. But that's how it is. Sometimes we want stuff, and so we come into the kingdom of God. And like I said, God has blessed me, and I believe he's blessing this church. But I'm talking about a deeper drive for the genuine disciple. There is something that inspires joy, true joy, in the genuine disciple. And that is when we think about that one day we are going to receive a crown of life. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. Have we got that? It says, and everyone who competes for a prize is temperate in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. And so in this passage of scripture here, Paul is speaking about, we could almost say like the Olympic Games. And he was saying that when people compete in the Olympic Games, in the arena of sports, they compete for a prize. They compete for a trophy. They want that gold medal. They want that at the end, they would receive something. And I remember when the Olympics was actually in Athens, where it began. And so they would give them a wreath that would go around their head. This is what the Bible is talking about when it's saying a crown. And the Bible is saying that people in the world, when they're in sports, they compete for a crown. That is the driving force. But he says, we as genuine disciples are running a race for Jesus, living right, because we want an eternal crown, not a perishable crown. He says perishable there, meaning that it's going to wither away. Can I say to you today, every blessing that God could give you right now, every material thing is going to fade away. Your car, your clothes, your house, even if God heals you today, if you're sick, and I pray he would and he will, but one day you will die. Even if you get married and you have a husband and a wife and you love them, most probably one of you is going to die first. That's the reality of it. So everything that God would give us materially could perish. But the Bible says that what we are running for, what we are pursuing, is an imperishable crown, a crown that will never fade away, a crown that cannot fade away. It's an eternal crown. It's speaking about like a trophy in sports. Now, let me tap into some of you ladies. You might tune me out right now, but you don't, just hang with me and we'll get through this. But with the men, you understand when you talk about football, that if you play football in the UK, I believe, what is it, the Champions League? What's the top league? Premiership. Is that what it is? Is that right? Premiership, yeah? Okay. So this is what it is. That's the top league. Obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about. But this is the top league. So if you're in that league, at the end of the season, whoever's got the most points, scored the most goals, not the girls, the most goals, amen, thank you, brother, is going to get the trophy. And you've seen them, they win at the end and they're holding up the trophy. And I believe that you can even compete within Europe. Can you compete within Europe? What would that be? What was the top? Champions League. And so you imagine a team that would win the Premier, then they win the Champions League, they win the FA Cup. Do they still have that? There you go. I'm learning today. All the women are saying, oh, when's he going to get off this? Don't worry. Hang with us, sister. You can even play internationally. World Cup. You could play for your team, your country. And you could win the World Cup. And each one of those divisions, each one of those games, each one of those whatever it is, there is a trophy at the end. And if you ever see the team that wins, they go wild. Because it's their driving force. It's the reason they were competing. They will hold up that cup. You will see them all take turns touching it, kissing it. They will come back home, and sometimes there's a parade in their home city. There's a topless bus, and they're on the bus with no roof, and they're throwing out confetti, and the streets are lined. And this is what the picture is that the Bible is trying to push into our hearts. It's saying the Christian must compete and be driven and push to say, you know what, I want the crown of life. One day I'm going to receive that crown of life. And just like the footballers, and just like the rugby players, and just like any other sport that is driven, the genuine disciple. Today, if you're in church and you've come here and there is even the smallest, a minute amount of Jesus in you, you need to be driven. Something should call out to you and say, I want that crown. I want to win that crown. It's a reward. I was thinking about even our own tournament last year when we won the tournament. I remember amen, yeah, hallelujah. Woo, yes, wife, I'm with you. You think about it. I remember, you know, we're in the lead now. We're in the lead. We've scored more goals than they have. And the time is running out. And all you just want is the time to go. Do you remember that? You just want the time to go. Just keep the ball. Kick it. Get away from the goal. And it comes in. No. And then you realize the minutes are turning into seconds. And then the seconds run out. But it's slow motion. It's like, come on, man. It feels like we've been here for 2 hours. Blow the whistle. And they blow the whistle, and everybody runs on the pitch. The players are running around. It goes crazy. People are, ah! I come on the pitch, I'm filming it. People are, yeah! Going crazy, man. They give out the individual trophies. People are walking with pride. Get their trophy. Yeah, the little medal, and at the end, the trophy gets handed. All the team players are hooray! And they're lifting up in the air, they're going crazy. I was thinking, for that brief moment when we won, and it was like all of your problems were forgotten for a little moment of time. Anything that you were struggling with was forgotten for a brief, even if it's a second. He was just like, yes! For a brief moment, you could have been, I don't know, you could, whatever could be a problem with you. For that brief moment, everybody in Wandsworth forgot every problem they ever had. And they're like, yes! But how many know there was a problem? And those of you who wonder, why are they laughing? Because the coach that took us there left us there. And we had to get taxis back. But how many know it was a little bit easier coming back in the taxis? But let me tell you something now. And I'm, you know, I'm really proud of the guys that did it and the whole church coming up there, and we did a wonderful job. But how many know we got to do it this year? That's last year. We're hosting it this year. That means everybody's coming for us this year. We're the team to beat this year. As long as they beat us, even if they don't win, some people will be happy. But we beat the winners from last year. They're going to be playing with everything this year. Not only that, there was this brief moment of jubilation. That was Saturday. How many know, but Monday did come. We had to go to work on Monday. And I know some of the team probably, they were still on a buzz, but it slowly wears off. Can I say to you is that the crown of life, which James is speaking about, is going to change everything. The crown of life, once we win that crown of life, see, tonight I want to whet your appetite with this crown of life. I'm going to move on to some other things, but before I do, I want to drive this into your soul and into your spirit, that once we receive that crown of life, everything is going to change. It will never be the same. You will never have to compete for that crown again. Once you receive it, that is it. Life has changed forever. You've stepped into eternity. God has received you. Once you receive that crown of life, there is no more sickness. There is no more operations. There is no more going to the doctor and arranging for appointments and sitting down with the doctor, and you told the doctor what's going on and he looks baffled and he says to you, what do you think it is? You're the doctor. Wait, there's no more of that. There's no more worry. No more depression. That if you win this crown, worry and depression is gone. There's no more poverty. No more counting pennies. Robbing Peter to pay Paul. No more saying goodbyes. No more saying goodbyes. No more losing people. No more family members passing away. No more loved ones. No more struggles with anger and pride and lust and just the apathy of serving God. No more temptations. No more do I have to resist the wrong to do the good. See, this should be our focus, church. This is what we're competing for. This is what we're running for. This is what we want. Imagine if I said to you, if we win the tournament this year, no more this. My, what? We got to win. You'd be like, what? No more poverty, no more worries, no more depression, no more sickness. They didn't. They just gave us a gold cup, a silver cup. And that's it. We're still the same. And let me tell you this now. Even if you won the World Cup, you're still the same. What the Bible's saying is that we as genuine disciples, we run for a higher prize. We run for a higher prize, church. Our focus is on a crown. Every day that you get up and you live for Jesus and you resist against sin and you preach the gospel and you let people know, every week where you're coming to church faithfully in your ministry, every week where you're giving and you're pursuing God and you're asking God for more, every time you say no to the devil and yes to God, can I say to you, you are running that race to pursue that crown, that one day that crown of life is going to be placed upon your head in front of a multitude that we could not even number. If you think the tournament had a celebration, can you imagine what heaven is going to be like on the day that you receive your crown? That you receive your crown. See, this life is just the preparation. This is the waiting room. When you go on holiday, you go to the departure lounge. And usually it's bland, glass, steel. That's not when your holiday starts. But you're excited in the departure lounge. See, the departure lounge doesn't look much different than the hospital, than the accident and emergency room. But you don't feel the same way in the departure lounge because you know I'm going on holiday. This life is just a departure lounge. Do your best, yes, get what you can and live for God and love people and do the best you can. But can I tell you, this life is just the departure lounge. There is a life after this life which is greater. If you're living for this life, that is why you'll be depressed. That is why you're disappointed. You'll look on the news and you see there's pedophiles, there's rapists, there's people that, I was looking at this case, the guy with no legs and he shot the girl and I'm thinking, the world's nuts. Like, come on, would you not be happy? It's nuts. You read the news and the more and more I look at it, listen, this world cannot make us happy, church. It cannot make us happy. In our text, the Bible says that God promises the crown of life. He has promised the crown of life. Can I say to you, when God makes a promise, he never breaks it. When God makes a promise, he will never break it. He has never broken his promise. God promised that Israel would always have land. The people of Israel, they would always have a land. Listen, they are still there today, thousands of years later. You can look for a Hittite, an Amalekite, a Perizzite, whatever, there are in the Bibles. They're not there, but the Israelites are still there because God made a promise and God doesn't break his promises. God stays true. And so the Bible says that God has promised us a crown. I don't know about you, but I think about my crown. I'm running my race for the crown. When I get up in the morning, sometimes, this is long, but I got a crown coming. Sometimes I've got to forgive people that have done me wrong. This is long, but I've got a crown. See, God has promised the crown, but he hasn't promised it to everybody. Sorry. God has promised the crown, but he hasn't promised it to everybody. See, God has promised the crown to the genuine disciple. This is why it's so important to be genuine, church. You've got to be a genuine disciple because the Bible says that God has promised the crown to those who endure temptation. Not enjoy. Not enjoy temptation. See, none of us enjoy temptation unless you've given into it. And then you might enjoy it for a little bit. It's those who endure. See, Jesus shows us what endurance is because Jesus is the one who endured. The Bible says that we need to look to Jesus and consider Jesus. Hebrews 12 verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. That's that word again. He endured, not enjoyed, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. The Bible says you need to realize that Jesus done some endurance for me and you. Jesus endured the cross. The most painful death that man has ever designed. He endured that, went through that for me and you. You are here today because Jesus done some endurance. The Bible says that we need to look to him and let his endurance be our inspiration for our endurance. The Bible says not only that, consider his endurance because he had to endure the mocking of sinners. Can I say to you today, sinners many times are going to mock you. They're going to say, you Bible basher, you religious freakneek, you whatever. They're going to say all types of things. You're going to have to endure that. You can't, there's too many people trying to be cool Christians. Yeah, I'm a Christian. A bad boy Christian. Listen, you can't, it doesn't work. One way, you're just going to have to make a decision. Are you the bad boy or are you serving God? Are you a rude girl or are you serving God? You can't have it both ways, bro. Pastor, can I be a leader? Please. The word endurance, let me tell you what this is. The word endurance means to suffer something painful or difficult. The Bible says, blessed is the man who endures. The Bible says, blessed is the man who goes through something painful and difficult for Jesus. See, I want to ask you a question. How many of you here are going through right now something painful and difficult not because you've been stupid, not because you got yourself into a mess, but you're going through something painful and difficult because of Jesus. It's for Jesus. See, that's what the Bible is speaking about. How many of you here that you know that God would call you down a certain path, and you look down that path and you say, no, that's going to be painful and difficult. I'm not following you down there. You go down there by yourself. I'm not following you until you show me an easier path. You're not enduring. The word endurance means to go through, to live through, to cope with. Sometimes you're just going to have to cope with some things. It means to tolerate, to put up with. I've heard people say, I can't tolerate those people. I can't put up with that person. Then you're not enduring for Jesus. The word means to brave, to bear, to withstand, to sustain, to weather. Meaning, when we say that you can weather something, what we're saying is that the wind and the rain and all of these things can blow against you, but you weathered it. You're still here after it. You're still here. This is what a genuine disciple is, that the wind of this world, the rain of things can come down upon you. Things are going through your life, but you can withstand it because you're a genuine disciple. You're enduring temptation. See, without endurance, you're going to quit. It's just a matter of when. Let me repeat that statement because I want to deposit that in your spirit. Without endurance, you are going to quit. It's just a matter of when you quit. Could be this week, could be a month, could be a year, it could be 10 years, but you're going to quit without endurance. And if you quit, you're going to lose the crown. Then we make another statement. Quitters get nothing. Quitters get nothing. You know, this is the biggest contradiction. Well, not the biggest. The world is full of contradictions. But one of the contradictions of the world is that the world devalues perseverance. The world devalues endurance, but it celebrates what it produces. Let me repeat that. The world, the system of the world, it devalues endurance. But then it celebrates what endurance produces. What I mean by that is that you see people talking about relationships and marriage, and rather than it celebrating people that go through the marriage, they'll be like, just get out, man. Just get out of that. You don't need to enjoy that. You need to make yourself comfortable. I'm going to do me. You heard that? Right now, I'm about doing me. Yeah, you see, that's the problem. You've been doing you too long. It's you that's your own worst enemy. And so the world is our endurance. Stick with it. Run through it. Just keep going. It's a good thing. No, the world is that, well, that's good, but this is easier. Let me do the easy thing. But then we celebrate the sports stars and the musicians. And those are the people that needed endurance to get where they were. You're not going to get to the Olympics without some endurance. You can't run a race. You can't jump over some poles. You can't do all these things without endurance. You're not going to get gold. And so when they get gold, we celebrate what endurance produces. Some of you here, you want what endurance produces, but you devalue endurance. See, we're going to need some endurance. You think about this endurance, you know, I remember doing training or something. I think I was a young guy, boxing or something. And they just said, okay, just hold your arms up, do some exercise. And after a while, it was so tiring. And it wasn't even, but it was just endurance. It was like, how long can you do it? It's like an endurance test. See, sometimes you're going to be doing something and you're going through some endurance and you're looking at someone else and they're not going through the same thing you're going through. They're not going through the same thing you're going through. Do you know sometimes it's difficult is enduring people? If you give up on people, you're not going to be someone who can minister very effectively. You're not like Jesus. One thing I've learned is I try not to give up on people. Now, do I feel like they're disappointed? I feel disappointed many times. Do I feel being let down? You're biting the hand that feeds you? Yeah, I feel that. But I try my best. Don't give up on them. Endure with them.
Enjoy with them, Courtney. Go through it. Because at the end, you don't know what they can be. You don't know what the end product can be. See, we all have different... Some of you, you're going to have to endure some sickness. That's endurance. You're going to have to, you're going through this. God, this is difficult. Why is this happening to me? And you're enduring it. Others, poverty. You know, I don't have what I need to have right now. Things are tight. Some, it's going to be loneliness. I'm enduring this. I feel like I haven't got people around me. Can I say to you, and in all seriousness, some of you here, singleness, you have to endure it. Enduring singleness. Where you start to look at your life and the clock is ticking on your life. Maybe you're a guy and you start, oh, this, I don't know what guys think about this church. There's so many good women in this church. So I don't know what you're thinking. I can't identify with you. You're on your own. Could be a woman in this place and you're getting to 30, maybe over 30. And you start to see all these girls getting married. Like, oh, hold up, they're barely 20. Singleness, listen, you endure it. Devil lying to you, man, saying that you're going to be this, it's going to be you by yourself with your cat. Can I say sometimes singleness is, you have to endure it. You have to endure it. You know, wedding after wedding after wedding. But not the singleness, marriage. You're going to have to endure some things in marriage. Let me tell you this now. I've said it before. Getting married is easy. Any bozo and bimbo can get married. Staying married is the hard part. Not just staying married, but having a successful marriage. When you see them come in and you know, you say, you know what? Look, they're really happy. And they're really serving Jesus. But can I say to you, behind closed doors, the married couples in here know what goes on. We all know what goes on. Don't look around. They know what goes on because, listen, there's going to be some endurance. You've got to go through some things together. I say to people, you know, I love my wife more than, you know, anything. But that woman can annoy me, man. And I can annoy her. But we just got to endure one another. But we do enjoy one another as well. Amen. What I'm saying is that there are many things. You know, to be a disciple in this church, you know, men that we're trying to create a platform for leadership, we want to send out couples, men to preach the gospel. And so through that forum, through that avenue, I should say, through the avenue of trying to build a man so that he can go and plant a church and that church can operate at a high standard. We don't send out flirts and Pentecostal pimps. Gospel gigolos. We send out men of God who have integrity, financial integrity, sexual integrity, who love their wives. And so we've got to build this into men. And so there is a infrastructure within the church to weed out the bad apples. That's what we're going to do. We want to weed out. And so in that process, as you're going through this process of discipleship, we give you ministry, responsibility, and you're going to feel pressure. Because we want to see that if we give you more responsibility, will you break? You need to endure discipleship, men. You need to endure it because it's through that process that you're going to be made. It's like the diamond. The diamond is made under the pressure of the earth pushing down, and it makes this diamond in the rough. It's the pressure of discipleship, and then we send out this diamond in the rough, and then you start to see the ministry polish this man. I had to go through it in Rotherhide. The rebuking, the correcting. Courtney, why did you do that? Oh, I wasn't thinking. Yeah, I know you weren't thinking. But why? I had to go through that. What time is this? You said you was going to run it. I don't know. That's not right. Come on. I had to go through it. And this is what it's produced. In my life, a sharpness. You have to endure it. See, you're going to have to even endure the discipline from God. Hebrews 12, verse 7, if you endure chastening, meaning beating, that God's going to give you some discipline. God deals with you as with a son. For what son is there whom the father does not chasten? See, if you love your children, you discipline your children. I like the speech Brother Kyle made at his wedding. One is, I'll tell you a few reasons, not because he said everything about me, but he did say some nice things about me. But one is he thanked everyone that served. That was very good. And let me just throw this out there. When you get married, it would be good for you to appreciate the people that serve in your wedding. Be good after the wedding, give them a little card. It doesn't cost you anything. Just thank you. You know, 20 cards, 30 cards, it wouldn't cost you the earth. Anyway, you know, where am I going? But he said something, he said that, he said, many times Pastor has rebuked me and told me things that I didn't like. But I had to receive it. Because, and I there's many men here, I've told you things, and I see you don't like it. You didn't like it when I said it. But I'm correcting you. Because if I don't correct you, the Bible says here, it's because you don't class them as a son. Can I say to you today, you're going to have to endure the chastening of discipleship. Let me close. When you have a car, a Fiat, an Audi, Volkswagen, there's a thing called approved dealers. They're approved. That means it's where you take your car and it's like a specialist. They're approved. That means it should be a high standard of quality that you're getting from these people. Not everybody can just put up a sign and say, I'm a Fiat specialist. I'm a Volkswagen specialist. I'm a Mercedes specialist. You have to go through some standard checks and do some things to be an approved dealer. What they're saying is this. You can't use our name until you've been approved. You can't use our name. You can't just put our sign, our logo, on your business until you've been approved. In our text, it says this. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For after he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life. You have to be approved. You're going to be proven. What's in you is going to be proven. God is going to put you through an assault course that we call life. And in that assault course, even in the church, you're going to rub shoulders with people and someone's going to upset you and you're going to hear that someone gossiped about you or someone did this or your husband or your wife or something's going on. Or you're going through singleness or you're going through marriage or you're going through a financial situation or there's a sickness, there's a lump, there's something going on and you're going through that and the Bible says that this is going to prove. See, that trial that you're going through, let me encourage you right now. The trial that you're going through, this temptation that you're enduring, this difficulty that you're suffering. Listen, and I say this with compassion, it is approving you. It is making you. It is proving what you are. You cannot be a genuine disciple without going through some stuff. The religious world and the unbiblical preachers that lie to people, they lie to people. You can go on YouTube, you can go on the God channel, you can listen to stations, and they will lie to you saying that, no, if you're a genuine disciple, just say it, name it, you'll get it. That's what it is. That's a lie. Because our Bible says no. He says as you go through some things, you're going to go through, and as you endure it, it's going to prove that you are a genuine disciple. No trial, no approval. You're not unapproved, dealer. You're not unapproved. You cannot have the name of genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. See, this is where talent and knowing Bible, just knowledge, falls short. Because you need endurance. You need endurance. What are you going through right now that you don't like? How are you enduring it? What temptation are you going through right now? How are you enduring it? Because if you do not endure it, if you get out of it, if you sidestep it, if you go around it, go over it, go under it, you're not going to be approved. You know, I read a book last year, the year before last year. It's about leadership training from Navy SEALs. I'm just into anything that's to do with leadership. And they were speaking about these Navy SEALs. And what they do is, when they first come, they call it buds. And they put them in this training kind of a situation. And so some of the training that they put them, they make them link arms all together. And they lie down on the beach where the water comes in over their heads. And they've just got to lie there. And they've linked arms together. And it's an endurance. Some of them, they put them in freezing cold water. And they put them in there. And it's so dangerous that they have to lower them in by a crane. Because some people could get hypothermia and just freeze and die. And so when they're ready to get out, some of them can't get out. They have to say, get me out. The training is some of the most intense training. Some of them are, because what they're trying to do is test their endurance. Because you cannot go on the battlefield until you've gone through, until you've proven your endurance. There are people, you want ministry, you want expression, you want to do things for God, you want God to use you, you want God to bless you. Can I even say this? There are some people here, you would like to get married, but God says, before I give you one of my sons or daughters, I need to test you. I need to allow you to go through some endurance. Because every time someone just steps on your toe or rubs an eyelash, bah! God said, how can I give you a husband and you bite off his head? How can I give you a wife and you knock her out? Listen, listen, let me tell you something. If I give you my daughter and you knocked her out, you're dead. In Jesus' name. How much more God? Listen, yeah, go on with your bad self, you rude boy. You're braver than me because you're messing with one of God's daughters. Yeah, you're brave. Because God is coming for you. God is coming for you. The guy said about the Navy SEAL, he says, listen, he says, being a Navy SEAL is not about muscle, it's about your mind. See, endurance, you know, endurance is not about the body, it's about the mind. Endurance is not about the body, it's about the mind. It's about what you've got to have it in your mind. He makes this statement in the book. He says there were guys that would come in to this training facility and they were like the strongest men. These are like bodybuilders. They're massive. Some of them would be sports guys, like the toughest guys. They're the best sports guys. They come out of college, the quarterback and all of these guys. He says when they go through the training, you think they'd be the ones. They're the first ones to lose. They're the first ones to quit because it's not about your body. It's about your mind. See, there's some of you here, you quit because your mind. It's your mind. You have a weak mind. You have no endurance in your mind. Some people here, you've made mistakes and you won't get back up and get back on. There's some people here, you've made some mistakes, and rather than the shame of getting back on, you're just going to sit at the back. No endurance. Get up, dust yourself off, and get back on. Get back on. God is not finished with you. See, the mindset we need to have, I need to finish this quick. The mindset that we need to have is the mind of Christ. You need a Christ mind. Can I say to you today, God has put more in you, Christian, than you think is in you. You've got to start believing, I can do more than I think I can. See, sometimes you think, oh, sometimes I like to challenge, hey, just try that, just do it. Oh, I can't, Pastor. Just try. And you do, wow, I can do it. You thought you couldn't. Because listen, there's more in you than you think. God has put more in you than you think there is of you. See, God is always going to challenge you. I was speaking to someone this week, a few people, and something that God has deposited in my spirit. God is always challenging us. Have you noticed that you come to church like, God, I just got convicted last week, man. Sunday convicted me, you're convicting me again. Why do I have to get convicted? Because God is constantly challenging us. Because can I say, there is a better you in you than is now. There is a better you inside of you, and God is always trying to bring that better you out. He doesn't leave you there. Even after being saved so long, God is still challenging me, trying to bring a better Courtney out of me, a better husband out of me, a better son out of me, a better a brother out of me, a better pastor out of me, a better disciple out of me. See, God is challenging you, and the endurance as you go through this, your mind is telling you you can't, but God says if you have the mind of Christ, what does the Bible say? I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things. What it's saying is when I have the mind of Christ, I can endure it. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. Quick. You can do it. You can endure it. Listen. And he said to me, my grace. This is Paul saying what God spoke to him. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Let's pause for a second. Paul is saying that God is expressing to him, listen, Paul. Right now you feel weak. Right now you can't do it. But inside of you, I've placed something there through my spirit that you can do it. I'm going to push you into a situation you've got to endure. But as you go through it, some strength is going to come out of you. You feel weak. Pastor, I can't do this no more. You can, because there is a better you inside of you and God wants to bring them out. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and in needs and in persecution and in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Don't run from that challenge. Don't run from that test. Don't run from that trial. Don't run from it. Endure it. Endure it. Something's going to come out of you that you never thought. You're going to come out approved. Approved. You've proved. There's something about your life. The last thing he says in his text, because I was thinking the word approve means to prove. What are we proving? What is it that we're actually proving? By these trials, what is being proven in me? What do I have to prove to God? We get it when we read the last passage, at the last part of the verse. He says that we will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Do you know what you're proving in endurance? Do you love God? You know, people backslide and leave the church, talk about the church, talk about this, talk about religion, talk about science, talk about evolution. That's not the issue. The issue is they just didn't love God. They just don't love God. See, if you don't love God, you're not going to endure anything. You're not going to, because love will always produce endurance. See, when you love your spouse, you endure the problems of your marriage and you work through it. When you don't love your spouse, you pull the cord and you jump ship. It's the love that makes you endure. When you love God, see the issue that we're all going through, do you really love God? Do you like church? Do you like me? Do you like the sermons? Do you like these young people here? Do you like the praise and worship? Do you like that it's near your house? Do you like that all your friends come here? Well, that's good, but that's not enough. You've got to love God. You've got to love Him, because the trials that you've got to endure are not going to bring you through unless you love God. Look, quick, let's get the next scripture, Corinthians. We know this about, we read it all the time, but have you ever thought what it says in the last? That love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all. Love always endures. This is why love is not this sissy thing. This, oh, I'm in love with you. You know, if you're a woman, oh, I'm in love with you. But it's not like, you know, sometimes as men, we don't really, do you love her? You know, yeah, you know, I'm feeling her. It's, you know, it's funny, you're looking at guys getting married now, these, you know, these young guys doing the dance. That one guy, I thought he was going to pass out, man. Like, he'd already got to heaven. He'd already got the crown of life. Woo! Anyways, love endures. Listen, love is not something which is soft, because it wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It was His love for you and me. That was what kept Him on the cross. It wasn't the nails. It was His love for you and me that He believed in us. That He said, you know what? I believe in you and you can do something with your life. And that's why He endured it. He's like, this is painful, but I'm going to take this. And He's thinking of you because He's loved you. Real love endures. Some of you never understand this love. Some of you never got this love at home. Never had this love from a man or a woman. Can I say to you today, come into this love union with God, that His love endures for you, that your love endures for Him. You need this love right now. This is why the Bible says, last scripture, Jude. Very small book, small passage of scripture. Many times people overlook it. But think about this now. This is why the Bible says this. Keep yourself in the love of God. See what the Bible is saying? He says, he don't say, yeah, keep yourself away from crack. You don't need to say that. Keep yourself away from fornication. Keep yourself away from raving. He doesn't go into all that. He says, keep yourself in the love of God. If you will stay in love with God and God and know God's love for you, you'll make it. He says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. See, it's only if you're in love with God are you going to make it to see that crown. You don't have to be a professor, a Bible theologian. You don't have to be super eloquent in preaching and outreaching and setting up speakers and a super disciple. You just have to be someone who loves God. If you love God, you'll endure it. And when you endure the trial you're in, God will say, you've proven to me you love me. You're now approved. Here's the crown of life I've promised to all of those who love me.